bearable lightness, really, at odds with Hoskins' stolid fireplug physique. Indeed, Toontown is a new wonderland, a rowdy jelly bean and yellow brick road colored piece of property where the flowers dance and the sun has a face and the theme song is Smile, Darn You, Smile. And that's the best way to get in the mood for this overwhelming charmer. Roger Rabbit grossed $154 million and was hugely profitable despite its final cost, which was pretty much the $50-plus million that had been Spielberg's first budget proposal. Eisner and the Imagineers were soon at work on a Mickey's Toontown attraction for the theme parks. Rabbit merchandise flew off the shelves. Though he won an Academy Award for his work on Rabbit, Williams seemed indifferent to the critical and box office success, feeling that the film was no longer the picture he'd envisioned. When Katzenberg asked for changes in his beloved Thief, Williams refused. Neither Disney nor Spielberg ever distributed the film, which, in a much altered form disowned by Williams, was eventually released by Miramax under the title Arabian Night. Williams later contended that many elements of Thief reappeared in Disney's Aladdin. "We took the best out of Richard," Snyder conceded ruefully. As Roger Rabbit opened, the Oliver Twist project, now called Oliver and Company, was nearing completion. In keeping with Disney tradition, the main character was now a kitten, and the action had been moved from London to New York City, but it was still a musical. Katzenberg had the idea to bring in a group of big-name singer-songwriters, each of whom would contribute a song: Billy Joel, Barry Manilow, Huey Lewis. At the suggestion of his close friend David Geffen, Katzenberg brought in lyricist Howard Ashman for the song Once Upon a Time in New York City. Soon after, Geffen also recommended Katzenberg use the composer Alan Menken. Ashman and Menken had written the lyrics for Little Shop of Horrors, which Geffen produced off-Broadway, with Schneider as the company manager. Roy's son Tim earned a writing credit on Oliver. Schneider thought the resulting production lacked continuity, and coming from a theater background himself, thought it was the wrong way to approach a musical. Still, it was Katzenberg's idea, and Schneider did his best to make it work. A lot was riding on the project. Much of the animation in Roger Rabbit had been contracted out to Williams' people. Oliver, by contrast, was entirely a Disney production. Like Mouse Detective, no one at Disney was entirely satisfied with the finished Oliver and Company, including Katzenberg. But he was impatient with artistic reservations. "Do you want to win the Academy Award or the Bank of America Award?" he asked so often that it became a refrain. In that regard, Oliver and Company had two marketing advantages: the classic Dickens story and a pop score by well-known composers. Katzenberg insisted that Disney put some aggressive marketing behind it. Oliver opened in November 1988 and, to everyone's surprise, grossed $53 million, setting a new record for an animated feature. Katzenberg was not only emboldened by the success of an animated movie that had been his idea, but also by the growing realization that Disney had a virtual monopoly in animation, and that it could be even more profitable than live action. After all, there were no high-priced stars or blockbuster directors demanding a percentage of the gross revenues. With almost no demand for their skills beyond Disney, the animators were